We are back, the Kickback Pod, back once again. I'm here with my man, Fobs. This is a bit of an international pod because I'm actually recording from North America. I'm in Canada right now. Fobs is in Berlin. But that's the awesome thing about, Zoom. No, we're not using Zoom. We're using a different platform, Riverside. But we're still able to bring this pod for you guys. So the time difference is around 6 hours. It's not too bad. But I'm excited to be bringing this international pod for you. In today's episode, we're actually going to be breaking down everything that happened very recently at Paris Fashion Week. I wasn't really expecting to do a podcast about this, but there were so many shoes. There were so many new designs that every single brand is looking to put out next year that I thought we definitely deserve to talk about it on this pod.
For sure. So, no, I'm good. I'm happy to be back. Potting again, 2 months in a row. We are literally on a roll at the moment, at least relative to the last 6 to 9 months. International podsters, international gangsters. We're going to be talking Paris Fashion Week. And before we get into that, though, how is it in Canada, especially with the World Cup on, which we'll talk about a little bit later? Obviously, Canada's out already, so we can talk about that also. What's the vibe like? I mean, there's been games in your city. There's been games across the country. Are people really, down with the World Cup fever?
I think that would be like understatement of the century. I expected World Cup fever to be big here, but it is on a level I can't even explain. I've been going downtown to the city to watch most of the games, and the vibe is unreal. Every single day, I get off at the main station, which is like Toronto's Grand Central, let's call it, which is Union Station. And it is just full of people with football jerseys, fans from every country. It doesn't matter what game is on TV that night. There's massive groups of fans. And a really cool thing that the city organized is this huge area, which is called Fan Fest. Where they're just basically, they have a bunch of huge TVs everywhere. There's a lot of food merchants, drinks. So it's a nice family kind of atmosphere. And basically every day for every single game, there's like a huge parade of people, of fans of that team that basically walk through the city on their way to FanFest. And it's actually crazy, like seeing how many people from every single country lives in the city. And they're all coming out in huge numbers to watch the game. So the vibes are actually insane right now. I was in Toronto for a couple of the games. I didn't manage to go to a game because tickets were sold out and really pricey. But the last goal that Ronaldo ever scored in a World Cup was scored in Toronto. because the Portugal-Croatia game was in Toronto, and that day was easily like the city was at a fever pitch. I mean, there was reportedly like 500,000 Portuguese fans downtown, all chanting, all going crazy. After the game, I was at a bar, and my goodness, like once the game ended, the bar was just jammed with like Portuguese fans. Most of them, of course, pretty happy with the result, but Portugal did end up getting eliminated later on. But this was the reason why I wanted to come to Toronto at this time. I just knew the vibes would be crazy, and they've been even better. Like it's been awesome.
It doesn't surprise me that there are so many fans of different teams, even if the team isn't playing in Toronto itself. Because number one, Toronto is a great city, right? So if you're going to be traveling North America during the World Cup, I think Toronto is one of the cities you'd want to hit. And B, it's, I think, something you've also told me several times, Toronto is one of the most diverse cities in North America or even the world, right? In terms of like that cultural melting pot. And so all these people, all these fans of, they might all be, or a lot of them might be Canadian, but like their heritage is from, one country or another or whatever, like all of them coming out of the woodwork and the communities coming together must feel really, really good. And that's kind of what the World Cup is all about, right? I mean, I know there's been a lot of, especially, recently, a lot of shitty things, associated with this World Cup, mostly thanks to one of the three hosts, the host that shall not be named. but from everything that I've read, everything that I've seen, I think all three countries have been very welcoming hosts to everyone, or to almost everyone. And the fans that have made the trip from, you know, other countries, other continents, have been very pleasantly surprised by how warm and open these countries, these cities, these people have been. And I think everybody's really just what you said, everybody who, every host city, everybody who's from that host city is just enjoying their city being in the spotlight, people coming to their city, visiting, experiencing what they know makes their city great. It's similar to like the Olympics or the Euros or any other big sporting event that kind of spans the globe in terms of the teams that participate. That's the beauty of it, right? And then of course the football has been just incredible. I mean, you look at like the stars, they're really showing out. Messi has 8 goals at time of recording. Haaland has 7. Mbappe has 7. Kane, I think, has 6. And a couple of penalties as well, which is his signature at big tournaments. You've got Olise on 4. I think Dembele has 4 as well. Like, France is looking scary. Spain's defense is incredible. They haven't conceded a single goal yet. There's a lot to love in terms of just like being a neutral football fan this World Cup. And then on the flip side, there's a lot to hate when your team gets eliminated, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know you're supporting Germany. Is there any other team you're supporting?
At this point, I just want the underdog to win. So every game that I watch, I want the underdog to win. I also just do not want England to win. That's the most important thing for me, that England does not win. I would love to see like a team like Switzerland or Norway get really far, or Morocco even too, you know, as the only African team left in the competition.
Yeah. I was, all three of my teams got eliminated, unfortunately, which is Canada, Germany and Colombia. As of the time of me recording, we recording this video, the quarterfinals have not yet started. At this point, I'm in anyone but Argentina mode. so I'm gonna root for, I don't care really, any of the other 7 teams, just not Argentina.
I think Switzerland's gonna beat them.
Have you been following all of these like people posting the Argentina conspiracies that FIFA is just trying to hand it to them with the easy bracket and the officiating?
I mean, I think definitely there's like some Messi favoritism. Like, he should have definitely been sent off in that one game. He should have gotten a red card.
Oh yeah, the studs tackle. Like, come on, man. That was favoritism.
But I think a lot of it is really just conspiracies, right? Like, there's only so much that they can really do to influence games when we're talking about FIFA, when we're talking about the referees. Of course, they can give, you know, favoritism to one team, not call fouls, give yellow cards to the other team so that it does influence the game. But at the end of the day, ball doesn't lie. And more often than not, I wouldn't say the better team wins, but like the team that potentially deserved it, maybe even just a smidgen more on that day, wins, unless it goes to penalties, and then it's just anybody's game. Yeah, I would say, as we saw with Germany, first ever time they lost a penalty shootout at the World Cup.
Yeah, I know. Also yesterday, Colombia losing to Switzerland, that was sad. But I honestly kind of disagree though that refs cannot really influence the outcome of the game that much, because I feel like now they really can almost more than ever. Because of like the VAR especially, they can overturn a lot of stuff like they previously couldn't. I mean, watching that Egypt-Argentina game, I did feel like that Egypt goal was like very unfairly disallowed, considering how much before the goal the foul occurred.
Yeah, but it was still the same phase of play, right? Like, he fouled him and then in that attacking phase they scored. So I think that was fine. What was not so cool was that the exact same thing happened when Argentina scored, but they didn't call it back. I think there was a foul in the buildup as well. Mm-hmm. And they deemed it to be not a foul, or, you know, not as obvious of an error as the other one. And there you're right? Like, they, the VAR, as we've seen in the Premier League, as we've seen in some of the other leagues in Europe, if VAR isn't used correctly, then human error can really creep in, and that can definitely influence the game for sure.
So, have you seen that for the upcoming France Morocco game, all five refs in the game are Argentinian?
Yeah, I saw that. And then there's conspiracies like, you know,
there's
what
so
that
many
means.
Conspiracies right now.
Yeah. It's also one of the first times that all the refs have been from the same country, right? Which I don't know if that's like a quarterfinal thing, or because before they had like refs from like four or five different countries for each game, probably to avoid such a situation, right? That like everybody's biased. I don't think it will amount to anything, you know. But let's see. If France loses, then that will definitely be a
big
talking point.
The alarm bells are going to go off if France lose to Morocco.
Yeah. Let's see.
People are saying people are now saying FIFA stands for football is for Argentina.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one yet. I mean, if Argentina wins, like, I don't have that much like ill will or whatever to Argentina. For me, it's just like if England won, they would be so unbearable, you know, like their fans and the country and everything. We'd have to listen to them singing It's Coming Home for 4 years straight. So for me, it's like anybody but England, please.
At least an England Argentina final is not possible. So
yes,
we know it's going to be one of them.
Yeah, true. In the final, probably. Unless both of them get upset, right? Norway beats England and Switzerland beats Argentina. And then you've got at least one team that's never been in the final. You know, that would be cool.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so like I said at the start, we're going to be going into all the stuff we saw at Paris Fashion Week. And there's actually a lot to get into. But before we do that, as usual, we're going to go through what we've been wearing lately. So I'm actually in Canada. I'll be here for most of the summer. So I'm only coming back to Berlin in mid-August. And I only took three pairs of shoes with me. My daily walking shoe is the ASICS Gel Quantum 360 AMP, the black ones, just because, that's become my default travel shoe. It's just really comfortable. Very minimal design, super easy, versatile to wear with any single outfit. And you can put in 25,000 steps in it every day. It doesn't matter. Like it's great. It's a perfect travel shoe, and it's been travel tested a lot by me. So there's that one. And then I brought my pair of the Gats by Novesta, which is the Slovakian brand. And I did buy a brown pair of Gats from them. And this pair is mainly just for the more dressier occasions. I needed just, you know, something that can go with just something that looks a little less casual. It looks like a pair of Margiela's, but it's not. It's a pair of Novesta's. It's about a fifth of the price with very, very similar level of quality. It's better quality for sure than Adidas BW Army. I'm a big fan of that brand. And of course, I didn't want to stop my running practice that I've began now, and I've been keeping my streak alive now of a number of weeks that I've ran I've actually joined a run club here while I'm in Toronto. So I've been going to a couple of runs, and the only pair of shoes I brought with me is the Evo SL, the white and black pair. I've already actually right before coming to Toronto, I picked up the Evo SL, the ATR version, which is like the winterized version, I guess. It's a bit more like trail running focused also, I think. So I haven't tried those on yet, but excited to try them on. I also saw that this week Adidas released a zip version of the Evo SL, which I also want to try out. And I assume probably has better stability. I'm not sure if the zip functions as some kind of weather resistant feature. But I'm excited to try. They have like what, five or six different versions of the Evo SL now?
They've really done kind of like when they launched the Ultra Boost in, what was it, 2014, 2015. They just, you know, they also had like a continental rubber kind of like trail version. Then they had like the cageless one, the laceless one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like there's obviously it's a very different shoe, right? But similar vibes in the way that they're rolling this out and iterating on the original Evo SL.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's pretty much the three pairs of shoes that I've been wearing. What about yourself?
I've been on a really good Nike run at the moment. So I have been wearing the Vomero 5s, the Photon Dust colorway, which is that like shiny metallic colorway, which I really, really like. It looks really good with
a pair of... I got those as well.
Yeah, yeah. It looks really nice with a pair of Issey Miyake Omplissé pants, which is kind of what I've been wearing as well when it's not too hot here, because that nylon, it gets sweaty when it's warm. And you know what the Vomero has made me realize? That like I now consider that a pretty chunky shoe, when in reality it's not really that. I mean, it's not like a Balenciaga Triple S, right? But for me, I feel like we've been conditioned and we've been so into this like narrow, low profile shoe trend with the Sambas, the Spezials, the Handballs, the stuff that New Balance has been bringing out with Miu Miu, etc. What else? Like the Loewe shoes. What else? There's just so many shoes that are like so like low profile, really narrow running shoes. Like the Nike Shox R4, the Martin Rose ones. And it's made me consider the Vomeros as chunky, which is weird because they're really not. So just like a weird little observation that I've had since I've been wearing them a lot. Then I've also been wearing the Nike Air Jordan 1 Lows, the 85s, those like gray ones. I forget the exact colorway name,
but it was gray? One.
Yes, yes. One of my favorite shoes. It's just so clean, beautiful, like narrow silhouette that kind of goes with every single type of pants or shorts. So I've been giving those a good run. And then I've actually been breaking out the Pata Nike Air Max 1 Waves, the blue pair, and also the OG, that like beige brown pair that came out as part of the first batch of colorways. And I got to say, like, that is just such a good looking shoe, you know, because it's a classic silhouette. It's actually really comfortable. And then you've got that Wave Mudguard. It just doesn't get old for me. So I haven't been wearing those as much as the other two because I kind of want these to last me like several years. Whereas like the Vomero and the Air Jordan 1 Low, like I'm happy to like not beat them, but, you know, wear them semi-regularly a few times a week. So yeah, that's been like my rotation over the past couple weeks, past month, just really Nike low top, relatively simple colorways too. But kind of like, if you know, you know, kind of shoes.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that about the Vomeros feeling chunky. It's so true. I feel like we've been now conditioned by all these brands right now to just have a new meaning for what low profile means. And I've been rocking pretty much a lot of Gazelles, a lot of Superstars, some Pumas sometimes. And yeah, like switching from that to a pair of like Asics Kayano 14s or Vomero 5s, like it does feel like you're going to wear like a dad shoe, although I don't really consider them dad shoes compared to like the more chunkier ones, like a New Balance 992, for example. But they kind of feel like it because we've gotten used to wearing these super slim models.
Yeah,
for sure. So let's move into any kind of latest pickups. It's only been 2 weeks since our last pod. So anything you picked up recently?
Sorry. I haven't picked up any shoes. I bought a really dope Wayne Rooney t-shirt that has not arrived yet, but it's like, you know, like those old school like 90s 2000s rap t-shirts where you had like that word art name and then you had like a bunch of different like collage pictures. So I got one of those for Wayne Rooney, and it's got like a picture of him as a kid, like playing for Everton, playing for United, playing for England, etc. And he's just like my all-time favorite player. I was, you know, I still am in like World Cup fever. And it's kind of like, like what can I get? Like that's not a jersey because I have so many. And then I found this online randomly and I was like, oof, I'll grab it for 35 euros. So when it arrives, I'll be sure to wear it for the next pod when we do video so that I can show you. But that's pretty much the only thing that I picked up. What about you?
Yeah, no, that's good that you mentioned clothing pickups, because I kind of almost forgot about some of my clothing pickups. I still am very much in World Cup fever, and I picked up a lot of the Nike X2 collection, the World Cup collection. I first picked up the Jacques Mousse France short sleeve jersey with the stripes. I think it's super clean, super classy piece. The Palace England gray shirt, which I think is probably the best out of that entire X2 collection. I think the Palace and England stuff was probably the dopest collab and the long time
track coming. That tracksuit top is so good.
Yeah, yeah, it's mad, it's mad. The tracksuit top. I picked up also the running top, not the running top, like the warm up jacket with the like the fleece one, which I'm probably going to be using for runs. So yeah, I mean, I really, really love that collection. It's great, and of course, like I picked up the Nocta Team Canada track jacket. I had to, because that jacket is just so fire. And dope. I was actually thinking about this, like I was thinking about like the brands that won the World Cup. I think it's very clearly Nike. If you just kind of look at the buzz and the numbers, I'm saying that because I feel like the X2 collection was probably the most buzzworthy apparel drop among the giant brands. And also, you know, if you look at the World Cup commercials, right? Like Adidas had that Backyard Legends, that 6-minute commercial with all those superstars in it. And Nike, meanwhile, had this, I believe it was called Rip the Script, featuring like Ronaldo, even LeBron. For some reason, LeBron and Kim K were in that one. If you go on YouTube and you look at the YouTube plays, the Backyard Legends Adidas video has 8 million plays, and the Nike Rip the Script on has nearly 80 million plays. So, I mean, like, just in terms of exposure, it seems like people like that one a lot more. It got a lot more views. I feel like Nike kind of has a lot of the buzz in the tournament.
It's funny that you say that, because I agree with you. I think that the X2 collection is or was the most buzzworthy football-inspired collection. I think some of them were better than others, right? Like, as you said, Palace was really, really good. Jacques Mou was really nice. I didn't really like the Pata one. I thought it was a little bit too out there. Peace Minus One one was also a little bit difficult for me, just because it was like all over prints and stuff like that. But I thought Adidas had like a few nice shoes, you know, like football-inspired shoes. They had the like Messi wearing a couple of them, but nothing that was like super hyped or like people needed to have. When it comes to the commercials, though, I almost have to disagree. Like, everybody that I've talked to in real life has preferred the Adidas commercial. Maybe that's just my echo chamber. I prefer the Adidas one too, from like a storytelling and cinematic point of view. You know, with I thought Timothée Chalamet was really great in it. I thought that backyard like football story was really, really dope. And then what I do think Nike did really well was that their entire thing was like, you could cut it down into these cut downs so well, so that you can either watch the full 6-minute one, or you can watch like quick like 15 to 30 second snippets, right? Like, you can watch the LeBron Ronaldo scene, you can watch the Vinny Jr. scene, you can watch the Haaland scene. And I think that was really, really smart, because it allowed them to distribute it so well. And that's probably why it's got more views, because in terms of like digestible content, it's definitely the better piece of content or the better ad. But personally, I just, you know, nostalgia wise, I like the Adidas one better.
But, you know, do you feel like the athletes on the Nike side, I feel like those are the athletes who are getting a bit more buzz in this World Cup, because their teams are just performing better than expected. With Nike, you have, you know, Team Norway, Team England, Team France, and all of their stars, they've made it now to the quarters. Adidas, it seems like, you know, they pretty much just have Messi. I know they have Lamine Yamal as well, but he's not really done anything in this World Cup. Whereas the other, like, if you look at the prime performers in the World Cup, most of them seem to be Nike athletes as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I think definitely. I don't know how much that matters anymore, or at least I just maybe it's just also the people I've been talking about. It's not something that's really come up in conversation, but I'm sure that the people at Nike are pointing to, like, you know, Mbappe, Haaland, whoever else, and they're saying
Bellingham.
Not only Bellingham. No, Bellingham's Adidas.
But Team England is a Nike team, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think you have to, like, distinguish between, like, the team. So they'll be looking at, like, England and be like, okay, yeah, England's doing blah, 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 blah. But, like, the brands will be looking also at their players. And I guess for Nike, it'll be someone like Rashford or Kane is with Skechers, which is weird. Saka is with New Balance.
I saw some Skechers ads, Skechers billboards here in Toronto with Kane on it. I was surprised.
Yeah. No, but I think definitely you're onto something. Like, the brands will definitely be looking at this and pointing at, like, oh, our teams are going further, our players are scoring more goals or having a bigger impact. Obviously, Messi is still, like, the storyline, right, with, like, how many goals he scored and, like, Argentina scraping by round after round after round, these dramatic victories, you know, him crying at the end of the game. So that might outweigh, like, the collective effort of all of the Nike stars. But let's see. I mean, time will tell. We've still got a lot of games left. And as we've said, it's been a brilliant World Cup on lots of levels, performance-wise, culturally, but also from a marketing point of view. So it's been very interesting to watch with, like, different lenses on, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, before we go into Paris Fashion Week, going into the quarters, do you have a prediction of who's going to win? Just give me the finals. Give me the final, the teams in the finals and the final score.
All right, I'm going to say Argentina, France again, and France to win 2-1 after extra time.
Man, that's like, that's pretty much my prediction too.
great minds. Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, maybe not 2-1. I was thinking maybe like 3-1 France, but I also think it's going to be France. They're just like, it's like a dream team.
Yeah, they're just too strong. I think if Spain was on the other side of the bracket, it would be France, Spain in the final. But
yeah. All right, let's go into the Paris Fashion Week highlights. There's lots to talk about here. We are going to be talking about previews of all of the brands that showcased themselves at Paris Fashion Week. And we're going to start off with an unexpected one, and that is Crocs. The reason we're talking about Crocs is because a very familiar face is now one of the main designers over there, and that is Stephen Smith, which you guys might remember from Yeezy Brand. He designed a lot of the dad silhouettes, like the 700 V1. He is the self-proclaimed godfather of dad shoes. Actually, shout out to Hey Dude and Stephen Smith, who a couple of weeks ago sent me the Stephen Smith design shoe from Hey Dude, which I actually did end up giving to my dad to wear, and he has been loving it. But at Paris Fashion Week, they showed their first collab together. Which is, what is the name of this shoe? I believe it's being called the Ripple. There you go. And if you guys, it is very familiar looking model. Like, it looks like something that Kanye would have definitely put out himself, right? Like, it kind of gives Foam Runner vibes in a way. But with a more like a louder design with all of these ripples all over the shoe. I think it's one of the coolest looking pairs of Crocs we've seen in a very, very long time. I personally love it. It's like Foam Runner 2.0 or Foam Runner 3.0. I don't know. I forgot how many Foam Runners there were. I think there was only one, actually. But these are pretty fire to me. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming out. I mean, these, like, yeah, whatever they're called, the Ripple, then you've got the Roy as well, which looks kind of like you're wearing a puffer jacket on your feet. I think his official title is the head of innovation, and he's really been innovating. And I think Crocs for a long time has been very, very open to pushing the boundaries and trying new things and going beyond just the classic clog, which is obviously their best-selling silhouette and what they're known for. And they're doing exactly the right thing. They're hiring the right people, not just Stephen Smith, but there's a designer there that used to be, I think, at Reebok. His name is Ryan Forsyth, I believe, is his last name. And he's been, check him on Instagram, on social media. He's an incredibly talented designer, and he's been doing some really, really great stuff. Designer or product line manager, I forget exactly what he's doing, but he's doing some really, really cool stuff there. And so, you know, he's Stephen Smith is, an absolute legend, right? Like, he designed a bunch of incredibly iconic shoes, the New Balance 1500, the New Balance 574, the New Balance 997, the Instapump Fury from Reebok, the Nike Air Zoom Spirit and Cage 2. He's worked everywhere, right? And then he was brought into Yeezy because that's what Kanye does. He brings the best of the best from all over, in whatever field that he's working on, whether it's music, design, fashion, and he lets them cook. And Stephen Smith cooked, and Stephen Smith is still cooking at Crocs. And I think we'll be talking about Crocs a lot more on the pod going into 2027, especially when these start dropping in spring, summer 27, because it's a brand that's really trying to change the way it's perceived, which is not always easy, because you need to balance that like legacy, like core target audience with a newer, cooler, tastemaker audience. And a lot of times those clash, and maybe they turn each other off a little bit too, because, somebody who's wearing Crocs clog says like, what's Crocs doing with all these weird shoes? But then somebody else is saying like, why would I wear these shoes? Because I don't want to wear the same brand as the random dad mowing his lawn, right? It's interesting. I think they're doing really cool work, and it's also cool that we are now talking about them within the context of like Paris Fashion Week.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time Crocs was featured so much on Paris Fashion Week. But if you look at these two models that you spoke of, it's with that Stephen Smith design, the Ripple and the Roy. So both of these shoes are actually already out. And from what I can tell on Crocs, they are sold out in all colorways, still available on some other sites. And there's going to be new colorways dropping later this month as well. And yeah, I'm actually really intrigued to try one of these. And it's the first pair of Crocs I can actually say that about. And that's because they don't look like your average Crocs. They do look like, wow, Crocs is really trying to do something different here. And of course, man, Stephen Smith, pretty much a legend in this sneaker game. And I love what he's doing here. Let's talk about Nike now, because I'm really excited to talk about Nike. So looking through Nike's collection here for Paris Fashion Week, I am very shocked to see the direction they're going in for next year, for 2027, because they're taking some of their most beloved models, okay? Like we have the Air Force One, we got some of the other models like the Goa Dome also, and also the Air Max 90, the Air Max 97 as well. And they're pretty much completely redesigning them, the shape, the materials being used. So for example, on the Air Force One, they've given it a square toe with, and also changed the mud guard to look like flames, which is crazy. Like I've never seen, or I never expected Nike to do something like that to the Air Force Ones. I also see a plaid version of the Air Force One, but also once again with the square toe. And you can say probably they took some design inspiration here from Martine Rose with this kind of Air Force One. And it definitely caused a big noise online, like from the sneaker community when they saw this. Also, it seems like they're putting out quite a bit of ballet shoes as well with huge Nike swooshes on there. And also some models that seem like they're catered towards women, with these interesting like heels, on there, which, they definitely don't look like male model shoes. And it seems like they're also going a bit heavier into the sneaker loafer trend. We have these like Air Max looking sneakers. It seems like it does have an air bubble on the heel, but at the front, it's a loafer. There's one in maroon. There's another one in crocodile leather. And yeah, these look kind of crazy. Like, I'm actually very, very intrigued to try these out. Some of the other things they're doing. So on the Air Max 97, I see that they have like a laceless version here, which is done in like a green apple color, like a pretty bright green. That one might be some kind of collab. And then similarly, on the Air Max 90 as well, there is a version dropping, which seems to be like a, it looks like some kind of puffer type of material on the upper. And another like very radical looking Air Force One, which kind of looks like one of those thermal imagings on the upper. And then like a very crazy looking pair of the Air Goa Domes as well, which kind of looks like a Batmobile. It's a black pair. So, I mean, wow. This is kind of like totally out there in terms of design language from Nike. Any thoughts on their 2027 collection?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these have got to be collaborations, I feel like, especially those loafers. They look very, very cool. They look like a 95 sole unit, at least at the heel. And then this like wrapped leather loafer, whatever it is. It's almost like a heeled loafer. It's it's very different to what I would have expected from Nike. Obviously, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, Nike is still going to have its heritage releases, right? It's going to have the same shoes that we always get, the Air Max line, the Jordan line, the Air whatever line, the Air Force Ones, etc. Anything that's like heritage, iconic, will still be coming out in different iterations. I mean, every single year there's some sort of anniversary for multiple Air Jordans, right? Like, so don't worry if you're thinking Nike's going totally off, you know, an unbeaten path. But this is showing that, you know, as you said, Nike is really trying to push the envelope and figure out what they can do to set themselves up, because it's no secret that Nike has not performed well as a company, with falling profits, struggling in China, struggling in other overseas territories, falling sales. And they've really got to buck up their ideas, and maybe this is it, right? I think their latest CEO joined, what was it, like 18 months ago, 2 years ago? Yep. And oftentimes it does take around 18 months to reverse fortunes, especially with supply lines and supply chains. It just takes a while to get people in at the right positions, design new stuff, get it approved, get it produced, get it shipped, get it sold, get it bought by retailers, you know what I mean? Especially if you're introducing new things. So it does take a while, and this could be the first wave of Nike's attempt to right the ship. Whether it works remains to be seen. I think it's different enough that it has a good chance, but I think time will tell, and it'll be super, super interesting to follow this and to see that, you know, see whether people resonate with these designs. Do they sell out? Do they pair some of these shoes with really cool collaborators to create hype? Are they general releases? Are people actually wearing them on the street? I mean, these are all questions that we can't answer now. We can only answer after we've seen these shoes come out and how people respond to them. But that's the beauty of Paris Fashion Week. That's the beauty of the fashion industry. You know, it's all projections, predictions, estimations. And then you just have to wait and see. And I guess that's what we have to do.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. He's been at the helm now for 18 months. The World Cup, I would say, is probably his first really big project that he's worked on. And I mean, so far at least, I feel like they've gotten pretty good momentum with the World Cup. It's not really translated to their share price yet, but I mean, they're just too big to fall any further, I feel. I'm pretty interested to see some of these actually release. I want to actually try some of these models myself. I have to give you credit for one thing, though. You did make a prediction. I don't know when, but you made a prediction that the Air Rift would have a comeback. And it seems like that's the case. It seems like it's been an air rift summer, especially among women. It's been one of the most popular selling shoes by Nike, and they keep dropping many different colorways, collabs, different versions of that shoe. But I would say, you know, you've been like the trendsetter for the Air Rift.
Oh, for sure. I bet you someone somewhere at Nike saw me wearing them and was like, we need to bring these back. Yeah. Speaking of Nike, we're going to talk a little bit about the Jordan collabs that I mentioned. So we've got Awake New York, and I think they hosted a basketball tournament, correct me if I'm wrong, at Paris Fashion Week to debut their new shoes. Yeah, so they have, what is it, like a couple of colorways of the sixes. They are relatively out there in design and color. They're kind of like split. They've got Awake New York branding on the heel. One of the pairs is pink and just like
bright pink
on the heel, then this dusty pink everywhere else with red and black accents. I'm gonna be honest, I've never been a fan of the six. I think it's not a great looking shoe. I can appreciate the art and the thought behind this collaboration, because I do think Angela Bach and the Awake New York team does some really, really dope shit. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way about the sixes. Mainly because, you know, some of the other models that have translated well to lifestyle, I think they work well as lifestyle shoes, like a Jordan 1 or a Jordan 3 or 4. I feel like the 6 and the 7 and the 8, they just look so much like basketball performance models, which is what they were supposed to be in the first place. So I can't see myself, you know, wearing them with an outfit. Like they just look too much like basketball shoes to me. But yeah, this one, the colorway is cool. Like, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of people are hyped about it. I've seen a lot of buzz for this shoe. I think there was another pair already, right, of the Awake Jordan 6s that released.
There's a blue and black pair. Is that the one?
Oh, no, that wasn't a 6. That was a 5. That was a Jordan 5.
Yeah, they had the 5s were nice because they had some cool detail, but there's a blue and black pair as well, which I personally think looks better, but it's a 6, so I'm not a huge fan. The heel is black. And it's almost like an infrared that has had like a baby blue slapped on the toe box and the side panels.
Yeah, I've seen these.
Yeah. Yeah, not my favorite collaboration, but I'm sure that there's people that are going to be into them. So, I mean, let's see when they drop. Let's see how much they cost. Let's see if they sell out. And then there was also a Free the Youth Nike Air Jordan 16 collaboration, which I'm going to be honest, I'm also not feeling, but it's mostly because the Air Jordan 16 is just so retro futuristic. And it's one of those shoes that like, it came out just after he retired. He never really played in them. Yeah. Again, just not for me.
It's just such a weird looking model. I can't lie. The 16s. And if you put this all over chrome silver finish on it, it looks even more weird. Like this shoe, I don't look at it and think that they're for the public. You know, like to me, this looks like a movie prop or something. Like this looks like something, you know, RoboCop maybe should be wearing. Like it's just such an outrageous looking shoe. I mean, those are the main shoes from Jordan brand we saw. But I think the brand that probably had the most buzz at Paris Fashion Week, at least in my opinion, was Adidas. Adidas had absolutely insane collabs, a lot of not just sneakers, a lot of apparel collabs as well that were showcased on the runway. We can start off with there was one by I believe Ja Ja Green. I don't know much about Ja Ja Green. Like, are they some kind of Jamaican label or streetwear label?
I honestly don't know. I've never heard of them before, to be honest, before this fashion week, but they've done some nice stuff. Like if you look at the shoes that they're going to be doing with Adidas, there's that one F50 type of shoe, right? Like very football inspired. Then they have the Adistar Control 5. The 5, which is really nice, like very 2000s runner aesthetic, which is again coming back in a big way. And Adidas has a lot of these really, really nice shoes. So Yeah, there. I mean, just we'll put the links into the show notes. But Jar Jar Green has a really, really a nice collab with Adidas, and it just shows that Adidas is like now really branching out, kind of maybe taking a leaf out of New Balance's book and collaborating with collectives, with people, with creatives that are maybe not the most mainstream, and really targeting specific communities and niche audiences. And that's exactly what you want to be doing to build authenticity in the community, in my opinion.
Yeah, and similarly, another collab they showcased was with Spider, the brand started by the rapper Young Thug. This is already their second pair that they've put out together after a very successful pair of the Superstars. And this time, I believe this is also the, this is the F50 formation. And this is like an all silver pair, which honestly looks pretty nice. Why does silver seem to be the most popular color on collabs right now? I feel like I keep seeing it everywhere, these chromed out shoes. I know Minted New York dropped one with Saucony, which instantly sold out. But yeah, I like these pairs. I like these. But I would say like the one that really got everyone talking was Rick Owens. Rick Owens and Adidas, they're not strangers to each other. They had been collabing for several years together. But the last time they did anything together was 2017. And now, this past Fashion Week, unexpectedly, Rick Owens showcased an entire collection with Adidas. The shoes, there was only one pair of shoes in the collab, and it seems to be a model that is a new model. Like, it's not some kind of existing model. It might be the Adidas Spring Blade, but it looks like basically like a football shoe with a lot of, it's kind of giving me like Nike Shox vibes in a way, but also I've never really seen an outsole that looks like this. I'm not really sure what model this is, but it's pretty out there. But what made even more noise was the apparel drop, because it happened to be also one of the hottest weeks ever in the history of Paris during Paris Fashion Week. And Rick Owens, of course, showcases all of these jackets, these super puffy jackets that had built-in cooling in them. So it looks like these jackets actually have some type of Adidas fan in them, which is keeping the person wearing it really nice and cool. So I'm sure people wanted to buy these right then and there, but that's pretty cool. I thought these jackets were pretty sick, pretty unique. I don't know if I'd ever wear something like that because they're so puffy, but it's cool. I'm really happy to see Rick Owens and Adidas come back together. Do you have any thoughts on this collab?
I mean, it's a legendary link up. Back when they were collaborating with Raf Simons, Rick Owens. I think there was a third one that Adidas was doing a lot with. You had, very, very, very Rick Owens shoes. One of them was the Spring Blade, and I think this is like an iteration of that. I remember I was so into Rick Owens Adidas, but I could never afford it, and I could never justify paying the price for it. But I loved how like Adidas let Rick Owens just do his thing, and really his aesthetic, which is like a very, very unique, specific aesthetic, shone through. And we're seeing that again. So it's a link up of old friends, of old collaborators. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that it will resonate with. So super, super smart move from Adidas, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Rick is super relevant still, and I think it adds a lot of clout to Adidas once again that they're collabing with Rick. Another sub-brand of Adidas that has been around forever, and I feel like they've just go unnoticed these days, and that's Y3 with Yohji Yamamoto. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think the Y3 collection that was showcased at Paris Fashion Week this year was probably one of the strongest ever. Some really, really interesting looking shoes. I don't even know what the names of these shoes are because I don't recognize the models. But there's this one really nice translucent one which has like these ridges at the bottom. It kind of reminds me of like that Sakai LDV waffle with Nike in a way. But it's so nice, super clean pair. There's also a pair of Adidas Superstars that have a steel toe, definitely giving some like punk rock vibes there. And also a very interesting take on the Stan Smiths. Once again, we're seeing these square toes. I don't know why everyone's so into square toes nowadays, but Y3 has given the Stan Smith a square toe. And that's a pretty interesting looking model as well. So yeah, it comes in black and white. Yeah, lots of really, really cool stuff by Y3. Any thoughts on this one?
I mean, just that Y3 has been, in my opinion, very underrated for a long time. I think they make some really cool, fashion-forward, very Japanese-inspired iterations of Adidas shoes. Personally, I was always a huge Kasa, or I don't know how you pronounce it, the Kwasa fan. The racer, the high tops. And it's great to see Yoji and Adidas going strong. I know there's been a few link ups recently with like the Real Madrid jersey supposed to come back, that iconic Y3 Real Madrid jersey, those F50 sneakers and boots actually came back, the Y3 version of like with the three animals printed on them. So yeah, I mean, I love it. It's just showing that Adidas really knows what it's doing across the board. It's doing a lot of very different things for a lot of very different people. And that's exactly what will bring the brand success, I think.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Moving gears now to maybe the most hype brand right now in sneakers, very unexpectedly, and that's actually Vans. So Vans made a lot of noise this Paris Fashion Week, and that was not even because of Vans. That was because of Louis Vuitton. Pharrell showcased a new Louis Vuitton shoe, which definitely looks like it was biting Vans a bit. It looked like one of the, I believe, the Vans Authentic. And that's kind of crazy because that just cements just how popular Vans is at this current moment. It's having definitely a moment right now. A lot of their pairs are selling out. It seems to be right now, if you look at the Sneakerverse, it's probably the most well-received brand right now. But yeah, it's interesting to see Louis Vuitton go in this direction. Does it mean that we're going to start seeing like skateboarding shoes be the most like in-demand type of look in the next year or so? It was also funny to see Vans respond to Pharrell and Louis Vuitton, like a little tongue-in-cheek post on Instagram, pretty much showing that they did it first and that Louis Vuitton was biting them. What was your initial thoughts when you saw that Pharrell pair?
I thought it made sense because the last few seasons he's always picked like one other brand to kind of elevate in a Louis Vuitton way. It was very, I mean, it's a very simple shoe, right? So like all they could really do is just make the materials better, because it's not like the sole is better quality. I think Vans soles are actually really good quality, especially if you're a skater. But I think it does underline what you said, that Vans is hype again. And over the last few years, Vans has gone from a brand that was like purely doing licensed collaborations, right? So like licensing big musical artists or whatever and slapping their logo on a Vans and then trying to sell it, right? They're now really, I think, putting a lot more conscious design and effort into the shoes. As you can see online, if you scroll through any of the social media or blogs that have done a roundup of the Vans shoes that are coming at us in 2027, there's a lot of like very on-trend things like studs, bejeweled Vans, camouflage, chunky Vans, slimmer Vans. So personally, like I'm not someone who's going to wear Vans because they just, I find them very uncomfortable and they hurt my feet. Doesn't matter what model, but I can appreciate that Vans is really putting effort into being cool or cooler again. And I know people that love the brand, have always loved the brand, have always worn the brand, and they will really appreciate having some really dope designs to pick from. And there'll be a lot of people that jump on the hype bandwagon, as is usually the case, which is okay, and they'll start wearing Vans. So you're probably going to see a lot more Vans in the next 12 to 18 months. And I mean, we've talked about it before. We don't have to get into it today, but it's just part of the diversity within sneaker culture, right? There's so many brands that are popping off that are doing cool things. You see a lot more different kinds of brands being worn around the city that you live in. So I'm excited for it. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. I'm really planning to pick up a bunch of these, everything that's releasing for next year. Especially I like these, it looks like something out of Bottega Veneta. It looks like a Bottega Veneta collab, to be honest, with this all over braided, like I forget what Bottega calls this pattern, Interlago or something? Or
something like that. Yeah, you mean the Dover Street Market ones, right?
Yeah, the Dover Street Market ones look crazy, yeah. I'm definitely looking to pick that up. Vans looks like they're just not stopping with the innovation, and I think we can safely call them right now probably the most hype brand in sneakers. Who would have thought that? yeah, a couple more brands we want. Sorry, were you saying something?
No, I was just saying not me. Like I definitely didn't think that.
Yeah, of course not. Of course. Speaking of a few more brands now before we close this out, there's Reebok. Reebok also had a showcase at Paris Fashion Week, and theirs was interesting because I'm very impressed with their color palettes selections. They went for like some super bold patterns, some super bold colors for their season, It's also what's notable is how they've kind of gone with this mule design quite a lot. They've taken some of their existing models like the Premier Road Modern and chopped the top off and putting them out as mules instead, putting some super, super loud colors on some of them. And I like it. I mean, I like this model, the Reebok Premier Road Modern, and I'm looking forward to trying them out as a mule. But just in general, I give props to Reebok for being super bold with some of their selections for next year. I'm not sure like what the brand is like trying to position itself as now. I feel like when you look at what Reebok, what their bread and butter is, I feel like they're still mainly selling the Club C's. And this part of the brand, they seem like they're going for that high fashion type of look or that type of customer. So, I mean, it's an interesting strategy, but this is right up my alley though. I've already picked up a pair of Reebok Pro Premier Road Moderns, and I would definitely wear one of these.
Yeah, I think it's very similar to what we've said about Adidas, about Vans, about some other brands over the last few years as well. They're riding their own lane. You know, they've got the Club C, they've got their classics, which they know, you know, a certain type of consumer is going to buy regardless, right? Like there's people who only wear Club C's. But then they have these more fashion forward shoes, like the loafers, the Premier Road Modern or whatever it's called. And those are shoes that, you know, are very interesting, very cool, really techy. But then I think that actually Reebok has some of the nicest color palettes in the industry. And a few years ago, people said that about Salomon because the Salomon XC4s and XC6s always had like beautiful colorways, different colorways, fresh colorways. But if you scroll through Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and you're looking at what Reebok is bringing out, like it's incredible that like the colors they've put together on one shoe, and it works, you know, and it's both bold and muted at the same time. So yes. Whoever is choosing these colors and the materials at Reebok, I mean, hat off to you, because that's my favorite part about these shoes. The colors are just so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if like you told me, you know, Kiko Kostadinov or someone designed these. You know, it's like, how are they even coming up with these color these colors going together like that? And like you said, they're not scaring me from wearing them just because they somehow look muted, even though it's a lot of crazy colors. One last brand we wanted to talk about is Saucony. Saucony had an entire display as well at Paris Fashion Week. And I have to mention them because there are a couple pairs here that look just incredible to me, especially this one, which is called the Omakase. Which, how is this not some type of collab? Because these shoes look absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the patterns on them, it has that, you know, like that sashiko style pattern. If you told me these were like a Capital collab or something, I would have believed you, because the patterns are crazy. The material choices, the different, it looks like a patchwork type of model. This is definitely like one of the nicest Sauconys I think I've ever seen. And I would love to cop them as soon as they release, but it looks like it's only going to be a 2027 release. Also, the rapper Westside Gunn, he's now one of the creatives over at Saucony, and he's been, I believe his shoe, his first collab is going to be dropping. I don't have a picture of what it looks like. I'll try to find it and leave a link or put it up on the screen. This one, but from Westside Gunn, I'm a big fan of him as a rapper, so I'm looking forward to his shoe, his first collab as well. Any final thoughts, Fobs, on Saucony?
All right, Saucony's been dope for like over a year now, so it doesn't surprise me that they're coming out with a lot of colorways. And similar to Reebok, they're really staying in their own lane, and their lane is just ultra colorful, ultra bright. And again, in a very different way to Reebok, it's colors where you're like, damn, how do these work together? We sell a lot of them at Zalando, and the Omnigrid 9, for example, is just a very solid 2000s era runner. It's comfortable. It's sporty. It's sleek, but it's also, you know, not 100% performant. It's very lifestyle looking. And then they slap some colors on there where you're just like, damn, these look good. And you can pick anything you want. You can pick ones that are bright and will stand out, and you can pick ones that are a little bit muted or like monochrome, like white, gray, black, brown. So in that sense, there's something for everybody there. And for anyone who runs a lot and runs in Saucony, you'll know that Saucony shoes are some of the most comfortable shoes out there, right? So I think regardless of what model you get, you're almost guaranteed to have a very comfortable ride or a very comfortable shoe all day long. Which, you know, I think is still one of the most important things to sneakerheads, comfort, wearability. So yeah, to sum it up, I mean, Saucony's doing dope shit. They have been for 12 months. I'm not surprised, but I'm loving it.
Yeah, for sure. Also their running stuff, you know, their collabs with Minted, they've already done a few of them, and they've been going crazy there as well. So I mean, definitely from like a casual sneakerhead point of view, lots to be excited about from this year's Fashion Week. I'm looking forward to all these drops next year. Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Kickback Pod. I will try to get the video up. Let's see if it actually uploads, but if not, I apologize in advance. Shout out to you, Fobs, for checking in once again with the audience, and I hope we can, you know, keep up this good rhythm we've got going now with the episodes. And yeah, looking forward to the next one, guys. Until next time, peace
out.